Hello, and once again, welcome to another Writer's Bookshelf brought to you by the Gingerlicious Company. Yes, I am still, you've guessed by now, I'm still Mr. David Driver, and a warm welcome to each and every one of you. And top of the list, good hello, when they said good evening again, goodness, good evening or good morning, or just a simple hello will do, David, to Nigeria. Oh my golly goodness, what is happening? I'm thrilled to bits. When you look on the statistics and you think to yourself, you know, people who are listening, Nigeria, so whoever you are, a warm welcome, and you're now part of the family. Once again, a big hello to Over the Pond in Virginia. Wales seems to be back on the menu. We've got some listeners in Wales. And I can't remember now if it was the last episode or the one before that. Certainly in the last couple of episodes, we've had a good old bit of England-Scotland rivalry. But goodness, it always seems to be that Scotland, what is happening? There's someone up there or some families or family. I think at one point it was about 30-odd, 30 to 40, about 37 more listeners, if you like, more people downloading in Scotland. So I can't thank you. I can't thank you enough. It's brilliant indeed. It is, of course, it's the last. By the time you are listening to this, it will be the last episode in April, and we're into May. Time is flying. I do have a number of guests lined up. I'm just signed up with a few bits and bobs at the moment, and some of the guests are involved with doing some things on stage and various other things, but they will be coming into the studio. So I'm going to share a couple of short stories from the weird, wonderful, unique and unusual lives of everyday people. A couple of stories, one called Flat Cap Freddy and the other one called Trolley Woman. But before that, I've just got back. Me and the good Mrs. Driver have just had a lovely trip. Not far, a couple of hours drive, just shy of 100 miles to one of my favourite places on the planet, Whitby, for the Goth Weekend, last weekend. Normally last weekend in April and last weekend in October. We've been going there for 20 odd years and it's absolutely brilliant. And I was going to share some stuff regarding Whitby. Well, that's probably going to be in a couple of weeks. I'm just piecing a couple of bits together, but I have to say it is absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Whitby, once again. I just love everything. I just love the Abbey, the 199 steps, everything Gothic, the beach, the sea, everybody who makes an effort to dress up. People say that, probably wrong me to say that. People make a massive effort to dress up, but there's a hell of a lot of people out there that the Gothic lifestyle is for them, and it's everyday life, so brilliant. And they're very, very creative people, so fantastic. Thank you to each and every person involved. Okay, we'll go to the first story is Trolley Woman, and I'll let you decide what you think about this one. Again, the title of the collection suggests the weird, wonderful, unique and unusual lives of everyday people. It's what is the norm? How do you sort of describe normal? What is normal for one person is not necessarily normal for another. So a little bit of a twist, if you like, to each and every one of the stories. So see what you think. And I think I said last week, certainly said this, just sort of rereading, reliving some of the older stuff that I have I've penned. Okay, Trolley Woman. There she is. Who? Her. Who's her? That woman. Which woman? That woman. That trolley woman. Oh, her. She's always about at this time. The two 20-odd-year-old men sat on a red brick wall, discussed her. Discussing the trolley woman. Pointing, laughing, poking a little fun, both enjoying a cigarette. They shouted out the occasional word at her, but nothing too offensive. she moved at a steady pace across the wasteland with another trolley full of goods. Books, blankets, tin food and bottled drinks all filled the metal contraption on wheels. Where does she take all that stuff? Down there. But where? Down there. To the sewers. The sewers? Yeah, she lives down there with the rest of the dropouts. The trolley woman vanished down the slope and into the sewers. Others came to help her and the goods were unpacked. After about 15 minutes, she returned and passed the two smokers on the red brick wall. Look! What? There she is again. Who? That trolley woman. Oh, yeah. She moved in the opposite direction, pushing the trolley, talking to herself on the odd occasion, even answering herself. Her eyes kept looking skyward and then to the path in front. Well, what's her story then? Story? Yeah, story. You know, that trolley woman. Everyone's got a story. Well, she's got one of those big houses up on Redbury Avenue. Redbury Avenue? Never. The trolley woman vanished from sight and moved along the pavement where she received the long, hard stares from both people in cars and people on foot. Some people gave her one or two word insults as they passed her. Others pulled faces or made rude hand gestures. The only reply she gave was words, either a date and time or a word no one could quite make out. So what happened then? What happened where? To that woman. Oh, yeah, she went mental. Mental. Overnight. How? Well, she just woke up, said she'd had a visitation in the night and everyone had to listen to her. Oh, that is mental. Her husband left her. I don't blame him. She used to be a bit of a looker. Never. She did. Always dressed smart, smiling and strutting her stuff. No way. Fancy cars, good holidays. How come you know so much about her? Everyone knows about her. She's always lived around here. Bit celebrity, her and her husband. Bit celebrity. Yeah, that's what people call it, you know. Well known about town. Bit of a nice tan, holidays, nice cars, clothes, and all that. Oh, yeah, I suppose. More people stared as the woman with the tangled hair, unwashed clothes, and filthy trainers walked past, accompanied with the sound of trolley wheels running over concrete and the jingle jangle of the metal frame. They shook their heads, lowered them, refusing to make eye contact. They all tried to make head or tail of the strange words she spoke, or dismissed the date and time of the 26th of September at 10:30. Come on. What? Let's go. Go where? To the house. What house? Her house. The trolley woman's house on Redbury Avenue. The trolley caught the side of the Mercedes-Benz, damaging the paintwork. She wasn't bothered. It was her car. She turned the key and the door opened. A welcome rush of cool, fresh air entered behind her, but it was soon overpowered by the stench of rotting food and unwashed dishes. A family of crows protested at the intrusion from the back of the settee. It entered through the broken kitchen window and the red brick still sat on the floor along with a shattered casserole dish. Tin food along with a selection of books were placed into the trolley. Pens, paper and a few warm jumpers were also added. There she is. Where? In the kitchen. Oh, I see her. Come on. What? I've always wanted to know what these big houses look like inside. A dirty hand packed away the last tin of tuna. as the trolley woman was just about to lock up the house, a male hand touched her own, and she felt a slap on her bum. Suddenly, startled, she was knocked into the door, and within a few seconds, she stood back in the kitchen. A nice place you got here. Really nice. Why don't you show us around? Yeah, show us around. Not got much to say, have we? No, she doesn't say anything these days. Well, maybe we could have a little party. You used to be quite a good looker, my mate says. Used to be. You look a right mess to me now. That trolley woman didn't move. She just stood and stared. One of the men began to open cupboard doors in search of alcohol. He switched on the radio and started to hum along to the tune. The other man stayed still and observed events. Ah, whiskey. Taking a quick sig, the man continued. What are you doing? Get upstairs. Come on, I'll help. She offered little resistance as a strong male hand grabbed her arm and tried to drag her upstairs. All she wanted to do was return to the sewers with her trolley, but he was persistent. In the struggle, a filthy grey jumper was removed and the thick checkered shirt was torn along with her shirt. The man's eyes widened with excitement as flesh was revealed. He forgot about the dirt and grime, the lack of soap and matted hair. He caught sight of red French underwear and a pierced belly button. He became mesmerised by the blood-red roses and jet-black crows tattooed across her lithe midriff. One hand covered her mouth. The other touched her piercing. Fingers lightly danced over the tattoo etched into her flesh. She breathed heavily, and he felt her tense as his hand began to fondle her breasts. Police! Quick, police! What? Police! I think the police are here. Oh, shit! I'll take this as a little memento. In the sudden commotion, the trolley woman was able to stand and cover up without becoming under any more threat. She was lost within her own thoughts. Locking the door behind her, she paused before placing her second hand on the trolley. Instead, ran it over where the precious necklace used to be. Well, that was close. Too close. Nice necklace, though. Not bad. Whiskey's not bad either. Here, have a drink. Nah, it's not for me, mate. I've still got quite a bit of a bit excited. You're thinking about her. Those tattoos are nice. And the rest, mate. And the rest. How old do you say she is? Well, late 40s, I think. Late 40s? God, tell you what, I'd go back for another try. Go back? Well, not go back to the house, but down to the sewers. The sewers? Without a second thought, bath or no bath, I'm telling you, I ain't never been excited as that for a long time. I've got a right hard on. As the trolley woman returned, the dropout smiled and waved. They were pleased to see her and became overexcited as the good she had brought back. A young teenager looked at her and asked if it was time. She nodded and the mighty, circular metal door was closed and locked from within. They had waited a long time for this moment, and soon it would be their time. Society had rejected them, turned its back on them, laughed and sneered at them. Landowners, business people and builders had all come together in order to develop the town. They had a vision to make it better. The poor slum estate had been left to crumble even further. Some families had moved on and the rest had adopted the old sewer works as their new home due to eviction or a cut in benefits. The authorities took a back seat when this happened and let them be. But information was leaked that both sites had been purchased by this new collection of people and plans had been drawn up showing the vision. The people of the trolley woman sat in groups or as individuals. Some were eating, some drinking, others talking, a few reading. They all had little homes of their own. Books, cans and clothes were all neatly housed. Portable gas stoves cooked food or kept them warm. And a small group had even managed to rig up an old TV and a DVD player. Sitting alone on an old brown leather chair, she scribbled on paper with sticks of charcoal whilst in a trance-like state. After a while, she fell into a deep sleep and the drawings were collected by an old grey-haired man who was considered to be the original dropout of the town. They were all warm, safe and happy, with enough supplies to last 6 months. Outside, the rain came. Water cleansed the streets in torrents. Lightning danced and sliced across the sky in forks of blue and white. Wind howled and screamed, but not as loud as the screams of the people. They were heard above. Even as buildings collapsed, trees shattered and roads were ripped up, the cries of help from humans lasted for days. Blood ran. It ran down the streets and into the sewers. There was so much of it, it spilled over into the old sewer works where the trolley people watched in awe. It continued for weeks and became a month. Eventually, silence came, which lasted a whole week. A scraping could be heard on the outside of the door. People gathered and asked what it was. Then they noticed that the trolley woman lay on the floor, wrapped in a blanket. Tongues wagged frantically, and a little panic set in. Hinges strained under the force. Metal buckled and bolts sheared as the door was ripped away, allowing sunlight to flood the upper level of the sewers. Eyes squinted, but feet shuffled forward to investigate. Mouths dropped in awe as they caught sight of the wondrous carpet of blood-red roses before them. Pathways ran in all directions, allowing them to walk without suffering on the thorns. An army of jet-black crows lined a wall to the left, as if standing guard. The old man who had collected the scribblings carried out the trolley woman, helped by another. They laid her on the ground, still covered with the old sheet. Silence fell, and all stared at her. After several minutes, the female began to stir. Rising from her resting place, her hand pulled away the cover, and she stood upright for all to see. She was magnificent in all her beauty. Long, smooth hair tumbled down her back. Her lower torso was covered in a fabric that glistened in the light as she moved gracefully forward, resembling the same colour and texture of the feathers of the guarding crows. From the waist up, she was naked. She looked beautiful. The tattoo still adorned her body, almost looking alive. Her eyes shone a brilliant golden yellow, and as she walked over the thorns with bare feet, no blood was drawn. From within the cluster of crows, a tall figure appeared. This black, demon-like figure stood almost 7 feet tall and carried a silver sword. Piercing red eyes seemed to see all as he moved forward. The people were nervous, backing away as more of the demons appeared. Some spoke in fear, others were nearly backed inside the sewer. "Do not be afraid," the tattooed lady spoke, and all looked at her. "Do not be afraid, my people. There is nothing to fear. This is a new beginning." More demons approached, and with them were two naked human males. Stepping down from the thorns, the half-naked lady eyed them questioningly. One of them was the same man who had tried to take her upstairs at the house. Recognising her, he tried to speak but couldn't. Smiling, she placed a finger on his lips. her hand lightly caressed his naked body and then indulged in a long, passionate kiss. Lips parted and she took several steps backwards. A finger pointed at him, and when her mouth opened, a wild shriek escaped. Within seconds, the army of crows swarmed his body, and within minutes, they had stripped his flesh to the bone. A welcome silence replaced the horrific, inhuman cries for help. The only thing left was a necklace, which she retrieved from the pile of white marrow and fastened it around her neck. The second male looked into her eyes, and she only returned the favour for a moment before closing hers. A smile escaped as she remembered. He was 20 years her junior and had caused the end of her marriage when they had slept together. But he had promised her what would happen, what she would become. He said that he would watch over her and make sure that she would come to no harm. He had come in search of a queen to rule over his people and found one. Smiling, his eyes began to glow like those of his queen. As her eyes opened, they kissed. Hand in hand, they walked towards the people she had lived with down in the sewers. Placing her palms over their eyes, a single word was spoken, and then their eyes too glowed with the same golden yellow. All the demons bowed before her, and when the silver sword was presented, she struck it skyward 3 times before sheathing it within a jeweled scabbard which had been tied around her waist by her lover. The old man of the sewer had watched all and not faltered once. Turning the pages of the book he had carefully crafted from the scribblings, he smiled as all the foretold events unfolded. The charcoal sketches matched perfectly as his eyes flitted from the crows on the wall and the people walking up the path behind the demons to the pages he held. As they reached what was once the road, a single path lined with more roses led all the way to Redbury Avenue. Only the houses here still stood. The rest had been driven to dust. The residents had been stripped and chained to posts in the gardens. They had begged for their lives. But she just smiled and summoned the crows to strip them of their flesh. Newcomers took up residence in these vacant properties. The demons lined up along the fence of one property and then fell to their knees. An army of jet black crows settled on the roof. It was the 26th of September, 10:33 a.m. More towns would be taken and more people would soon serve a new queen. A new cycle had begun, but first she smiled, kissed the man at her side, and together they ran up the path to the house. Closing the door behind them, no strong arm was needed to get her upstairs. She went of her own free will and made love until darkness prevailed. Holding hands and whispering of what they would do in the morning, they waited until the sun shone a golden yellow, just like their eyes. I do hope you enjoyed that one. That goes by the name of Trolley Woman. And I shall just share a second one called Flat Cap Freddy. See what you think of this one. Flat Cap Freddy. Poor old Freddy. Flat Cap Freddy, as the people of the village called him. One of our country's widowed elderly gents. Polite, always willing to help, talkative, beige clothes, walking stick, and a number of flat caps, each with a different coloured feather. Each with a different coloured feather pinned to it, along with a badge of a country. He was always out and about. People felt sorry for him and went out of their way to help him. He had lost his wife and didn't seem to have any children or grandchildren who came to visit. He lived in a large 5-bedroomed house close to the woods, and not too far from the railway station. Some residents found this a little strange. They would walk past his home, point and hold court. Maybe they felt sorry for him. Maybe they wanted to mow the lawn or weed the rose gardens. Some may have thought that if they could, they would paint the window frames or replace the broken tiles on the roof. It might have been that these kind folk assumed that inside Flat Cap Freddy's abode, the bathroom would need a good clean along with the kitchen. The empty bedrooms would be dated, dusty, lacking laughter, and just that homely feel. But maybe they just wished he'd join his wife and let someone else own the property. It might sell at a low price, which might also include the apple orchard and the 6 acres of land to the south side. Everyone was Freddy's friend, but no one came back to the house. Mondays weren't a bad day, the start of the week. Freddy fed the ducks at 9:15 a.m, just when all the mums had dropped off their kids at school. He liked the attention, the smiles, the pet dogs on leads, and the young babies snuggled up in prams. They all played a part in his life. The cafe was nice too. It had recently undergone a makeover, moving from mugs of tea and a full English to cappuccinos and sesame seed buns served with carrot and coriander soup. Staff liked Freddy. They talked to him, humoured him, asked him questions about the good old days, and always served him an extra large slice of coffee cake. Tuesdays were just a half day. Everything seemed to be closed. Flat Cap faced the world a little later. Tea and toast were served up by the man himself while he listened to the radio. The butchers closed at 1 o'clock, but always kept a couple of nice pork pies for Freddy. He liked his pie and peas lunch, and always had 2 or 3 bottles of real ale afterwards, and fell asleep until early evening. Wednesdays and Thursdays were about the same. Up early, a nice drink of tea, a bacon and egg sandwich, a little stroll in the woods, and then a trip to church to enjoy the company or a visit to the community centre where it was either art class or camera club. Friday was fish and chip day. Another walk in the woods was followed with a trip to the local chippy. Freddie always accompanied. His second favourite dish were 3 slices of heavily buttered brown bread and a large mug of tea. The afternoon was filled with music, as Freddy loved listening to the radio. But the weekend was a very different story, and Flat Cap Freddy was a very early bird indeed, up at 3 to the sound of the teas made. After his lovely warm drink to start the day was enjoyed, he dressed and left the house, taking with him his corned beef and tomato sandwiches from the fridge and his thermos flask, which was filled with coffee. Flat Cap Freddy took the 4:02 a.m. train, which trundled up the tracks as far north as he could travel. He reached his destination at 7:13 a.m. and enjoyed a full English breakfast at a nearby cafe. After that, he went for a long walk in the woods. At 11:07 p.m. he left the station and headed south, arriving at his destination at 6:18 a.m. Again, Freddy enjoyed a breakfast at a local cafe. They knew him well and were glad to top up his empty flask. He also purchased a few more sandwiches, which would be enjoyed in the local woods at about 1 p.m. At 12:02 a.m. Flat Cap caught the northbound train home, which would arrive at the station not far from his home. He always treated himself on this particular journey to a double cheeseburger, fries and a coffee. This was always bought at approximately 11:50 p.m. and allowed Freddy enough time to make the short walk round the corner to the station. He always took a quick slurp of coffee, looked at his watch, and then boarded the train. there was never any question about bagging a window seat. He often thought of better times as he munched away and stared out into the night. The train always arrived at 4 or 2 a.m. Freddie made the short walk home and he went straight to bed. But he always made sure he was up in time to feed the ducks at 9:15 a.m. and speak to the mums. Poor old flat cap Freddie. Another week would begin and he'd be doing the same things, meeting the same people and spending his nights alone in his big house. The train journeys were nice. They gave him a chance to think of better times. Everyone was so nice to him wherever he went and he enjoyed his meals. But it wasn't the same. He had no one left, no one to call family, no one to speak with in the evenings, or no one to cuddle up to at night. He was alone and vulnerable. His life was empty and he felt that he couldn't go on. As Freddie lay in bed, he flicked through some old photograph albums. He smiled at the memories. He remembered the party they held back in 1977 for the Queen's Jubilee. That was the last year he and his wife were together. Flat Cap remembered only too well the outbreak of war in 1939. But he also remembered when it broke out in 1914. Freddie closed his eyes as he remembered the sinking of the Titanic, the Zulu uprising, and the planting of the apple orchard back in 1883. Freddie, he's in all the photographs. Is it worth it anymore? He said out loud to himself. All the effort he'd gone to in the woods, all the travelling north and south by train, still no contact. No contact with his kind, his people. Flat Cap Freddie was possibly the last of his kind. Freddie's kind had to adapt in order to survive. They had to become part android due to famine, plague and war on their home planet. His kind arrived on Earth over 200 years ago from a dying planet billions of miles away. They came in search of hope and a new beginning. Four ships arrived at first, each carrying 8 people, but over time, all contact between them had been lost. They'd had to adapt once more to blend in with humans. They adopted more human qualities in favour of the android ones. Communication was sent at regular intervals to the home planet so that his people could follow. They'd found a new home in which they could live and be happy once more. No one else came, but they lived on in hope. Tables, chairs, computers, walls full of screens all gathered dust. The signals had all reached the home planet. Some of the screens still had a little power in the cells operating them and displayed the information. Back on the home planet, ships waited. They waited to be launched, but no one could pilot them. The plague had dominated. They were all dead. Freddie had to make sure, though. The trees in the woods by the house were home to communication devices, sending signals out to all planets or others who may wish to visit Earth. It was the same in the woods to the north and in the south. Flat Cap Freddie put them there. Flat Cap Freddie. He laughed at this name he became known as. He laughed again at the thought of what people would say and do if they knew what was under it. Red, green and blue lights flashed as he removed his cap. Hundreds of tiny silicon chips processed information. Freddie plugged in several leads which connected to 2 small screens. He read information at a phenomenal rate, speaking thousands of languages unknown to mankind, making sure all communication had been received or answered. A new home, he thought. He thought again, thought about the famine, the plague, the war, all left behind, and the famine, plague and war they had found on Earth. Freddy held a picture of the ship they had travelled in and smiled at the initials on the side. FCF. They were the same as his name, Flat Cap Freddy. But back then they stood for First Contact Fleet. And he was known as RV-282 Male. The last of the information was processed. His job was done. He double-checked, nodded his head and smiled. Freddy had lived on two planets and had had to adapt to different life cycles. He thought about the killer machine he had encountered, known as the human race, and made sure no one else encountered it. First Contact Fleet had completed their mission. Slowly reaching up, his hand found the off button on the top of his head. And he pressed it. Well, I do hope that you have enjoyed those two stories, Trolley Woman and, of course, Flat Cap Freddy. A little bit of food for thought. Well, once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the podcast. If you want to get in touch, then go to the various ways. You can email me, and it is thegingerliciouscompany@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook, David Driver Author, or you can also go to the website, which is daviddriverauthor.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and if you like what you have been listening to, then tell all your friends, and I will certainly be speaking to you on the next episode. Goodbye for now.